Hello and welcome to Earthcast, a platform for discussions about bridging the resource gap between people and planet. This is episode 2 from the season Social Enterprise Stories, co-hosted with Delisha Govender from Push Local Ventures. We are excited to be interviewing Chief Etienne Davids, the co-founder of Stringbean Media, a proudly Indigenous Khoi and San social entrepreneurship enterprise. This is a collaboration between Delisha and myself, Push Local Ventures and Earthcast, and we have Chief Etienne Davids joining us today. And I'm going to open up the floor and we're going to have a really gentle, considered discussion. You're more than welcome to send questions through, but we will deal with them in the Q&A afterward. So Etienne, the floor is yours.
Oh, lovely. My name is Etienne. Thank you so much. It is lovely to be here. To all of you that are watching at home, even the ones that are watching this afterwards. It's wonderful to share the space with you and to have this moment, because that's the thing that we truly only really have. So it's great to hear that I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a traditional leader of the Khoi or Khoi Khoi and Kam people. I'm a social entrepreneur with the vision of being able to impact the world positively through creation and connection and conversation, so that we can reduce all the suffering, or at least as much as we can, and increase kindness. And all of that is just like part of what I myself try to package when I live to serve not only my family and my people, but as a custodian of nature and of the people. It's something that resonates beyond just who I think I am, because it's not about me, and that's what's phenomenal. So all the other stuff is like a really nice way of being like, oh, yeah, that's a nice chocolate. And then you're just like, it tastes so good. I love it.
Yo, consumerism and gluttony.
I know, right?
That's a good title for a podcast.
That is a phenomenal, yeah, right?
Good clickbait.
Yeah,
good
clickbait. Wow.
I can even hear the jingle already.
Yeah, consumerism and gluttony. Wow.
Yeah.
So, Etienne, maybe I should ask you the same question that I asked Ntabi as well.
Yes, please.
And that is, if you would like to share, what does your name mean and what does it mean to you, and has it perhaps synergistically influenced where you are now?
So my name is Etienne. That's one T and two N's and an E at the end. My mommy made very specifically sure that it is spelled Zofranjwe. So it is Etienne. That is actually how you are pronouncing my name.
Chief Etienne.
Is that Chief Etienne, which is also the meant to be for Stefan, which means crown. So my name, my mom gave me because she loved the Afrikaans writer. So she loved Etienne. So the significance it has for me is that it was the first gift my parents gave me. And it was something that I didn't really understand.
Goosebumps.
Or
again.
Yeah, you know, and it's you see, the complication the complications we find when we navigate our identity is rooted in a history of sometimes forgotten people. People that, for lack of a better term, were marginalized and hunted down and haven't been recognized. And a lot of us, we know that we talk about the Khoi San and we talk about the Khoi and the Bushmen, but we forget something that we all understand is that it's the first people. They had to come from some. And knowing that my name was gifted to my parents, it's like, despite whatever it is that happened, they took time. They were like, you know, even when I ask my mom, like when I hear her tell the story about my birth and like finding out, like, guess what, you're a young girl, you're going to be a mama. It's phenomenal to think that you'd still take the time to choose what your child's name would be. So I think it's deeply rooted in my duty in service of those before me, because they selflessly, even though, you know, you're like, oh, but I didn't choose my name, I didn't choose my religion, I didn't choose my circumstance, they forced me to be that stuff, bro. It's like, yeah, but you know, like, you need a name. You know, it's like, because that gives it acknowledgement, you recognize it, it almost becomes real. So I mean, I find it difficult, especially, like I say, it's complicated when we talk about our relationship with our parents, because it's still so deeply rooted in our history of where we come from. But it's good for me. It's been great for me. It's helped me, especially when I was navigating sort of like corporate space, because I'm a very well articulated brown man with a bit of an education.
Yes, boy.
And you know, I'm not afraid of a challenge, and I'm ready to work. And it's my inquisitive mind, and the fact that I don't understand it entirely, and then I lean into my intuition, that allows me to...
Yes, we were talking about intuition.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. That allows me to sort of like navigate these spaces where I even find myself, I'm like, yo, hey, listen, myself, what are we doing here? How did we get here? And then it's this huge revelation, and like in those spaces where I go to operate, like Etienne, the way somebody mispronounces it, it's like a way to they say, well, you see, my name is actually from the French. It breaks that connection to what somebody might have pre-positioned as an idea of who I might be just by who they see. I mean, I'm very... for those on The View, they can see, like, if you would have to see me, you would probably imagine on the podcast to help you understand visually. It would be like, you'd understand if I was sitting here and you'd be hearing me speak. And you know, yeah, I'd be saying, no, you know, I live here, I'm grateful. Most if I give them an opportunity and for D.
Definitely what I'm expecting
because
from
of
you.
The fact that I have 1,000%. Dreadlocks. And like the disassociation because of the lost knowledge that, you know, the Bushmen, the sand people, I mean, this is part of the same, it's not just always, and then it's like, oh, now I've got an opportunity to be like, I am not just what you think I am.
Yeah.
I can actually introduce myself. Mm-hmm. So, I'm grateful to my parents for that name. So I just keep carrying it. Even if it's ATM sometimes, I'm like, yes, ATM, my comrade, that's but my surname is Zero Balance.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Etienne, it's always lovely being in spaces with you. I've been gifted with few, but many, I think, opportunities if I think about it in a short time span. You're a very busy man. I mean, from being a chief to being a husband, a dad, running a business, you know, giving a lot of your time to the young people that you do in our communities. I want to know, what is it that you're busy doing with all this free time that you have?
All this incredible free time, just sitting here twiddling my thumbs, just being this.
Yeah, and I mean, a part-time comedian as well. Dabbling
bit of that, you know, just kind of like keeping the creative juices flowing.
Sure. Of course.
What is your core focus right now? What are you busy working on? What is your key thing that wakes you up in the morning?
The one thing that has me traveling all the way.
Fists are clenched right now, guys.
Right? Like even right now, I feel like my butthole is puckered. It's like I'm tense.
Yeah. You're like the weirdest chief I know, dude.
Right? Because like, I know most people expect like this Rafiki kind of guy. It's like, and when you eat baked beans, be careful, don't trust your fart. You know, like there's like supposed to be some fortune cookie. But I am the way my creators made
required
me.
You to be,
I am the way that all the mistakes that I've made, all the victories I've won, all the times I've knocked my head, all the nuances of the avatars I had to use to navigate the social spectrum of just life in general from school. Or whichever, regardless of what others thought about it, and still try to understand like the most important question, like, okay, besides like why, who am I, like what is the point of me being here, man? Like, so my main big thing at the moment, it's the project itself is something that gets me super excited because of the impact it has, but it forms sort of like part of not only an individual or personal dream that spans over almost like from the moment I overstand almost or overstood things, not just understand things, but like overstood things from a conscious point of view. It is mine, so many others, real people's dream, and it's a micro city, an indigenous micro city that's self-sufficient, self-sustainable, that's built on ancient principles and ancient knowledge, that has a net zero carbon footprint, and that has the proof of the ability of us being able to work and live in a community that is healthy and that's driven by the needs of the many being more important than the needs of the few? Because at the end of the day, my one role as a husband does not make my role as a father any less important. Mm-hmm. And me being a chief does not make me any less of an important member of a community.
Absolutely.
And I think that's something that we are always striving for is to find that action. That's the thing that we miss. It's like, okay, we have brilliant thinkers, and we have great ways of dreaming, because I also believe that everything starts in the thought realm. Everything started in the thought realm. That's why there's so much emphasis put on having a healthy body and spending time with your mind and trying to lean into spirituality, whatever that means to you. Like, don't let the definition of what that means to someone else rob you of your opportunity to discover it, because you're only using that as a sort of like a guide. It's like, yeah, sorry, check it out. I've never heard of this spirit. What's this stuff? What's the thing called? Yeah, let's go stop off there by that Jesus fella. I kind of heard he's got like some great PR, you know, in marketing. Him and Coca-Cola, they're like this, you know. but it starts there. And so like this micro city stands as a testament to the durability, the perseverance, the grit, and the intuition, leaning into that which is beyond oneself, that is about more than just what I can benefit, and that can stand the test of time, so that those that have the shade under the tree and pick the fruits, we haven't even thought of or can't even imagine, because they haven't even had their turn yet. They're still standing there. It's like, yo, go build that thing there, out there on the west coast, there in the middle of this ancient Kohokwa tribal kingdom, right over the hills of an ancient ancestral kraal. Yeah. This is like, the energies are just in alignment, and everything is just working together to prove to the world, and not only to the world, but to all of us, flesh and blood human beings, spiritual creatures having a human experience, that it's not a dream, it's not just a plan. Even if you just bring a spoon, you're the one that we're going to be able to use to then stir my tea. Because we've got the cups. Here's a cup for you. And that's exactly what that will be able to prove, that we can do things so much greater than ourselves when we do them together. And what we also hope to try to do is to try to bring a huge element of empowerment and also recognition, because that's what actually ultimately what I want. People ask me, like, so why are you here? And you know, like, that's a weapon. You can't have a...
Currently, Etienne is referring to his
crown.
Right, yes. It's like, yeah, sorry, all the podcast people are like, is there something wrong with the audio thingy? So I have, in Afrikaans, it's called a kiri, or what my daughter refers to as my superhero staff. that was given to me at my initiation. It's made out of eucalyptus tree, and it's handcrafted, and it's got its own significant story. We'll share a photo of that on the social. Wow. So don't just listen to this on the podcast and watch this. Go and look at Push Local Ventures. Go look for Olivia Taylor and go look at across all the social platforms, because we'll share multiple different types of media with you, because that's also the one real important part of this micro city, is that it's multifaceted. It shows you that it's not complex. We can simplify it by going back to just like the basic principles. But when somebody identifies me as just, what does it mean if I'm a chief? Just because I have a kiri or a springbok feliki as a headband dress. That is only one portion of it. It sparks a conversation. I can tell you about what that means, to be a Kohokwa chief, what that actually means to me, what it means in terms of history. And that opens up an opportunity to then share living knowledge that sometimes is obscure or lost or maybe even not really as freely available. So that's why I was also saying I'm so grateful for this opportunity, because it's not a platform, so to say, to share it, but to start a conversation so we can be like, okay, I'm not too sure. And that's what makes it great. And I think that's also why the creator made me the way he did, because he knew I was going to be like bumping into people from all walks of life to just remind them, you are my sister. You are my brother. We are united under one sky, and we only have one planet. There's no planet B. And the way we are doing things right now might only be beneficial, or we can find reasons for them, but it doesn't mean that that's the only way. Doesn't mean that that's the, we can, we can really start attempting to look at that. And that's what this project is aiming at, to say, look, we might not have much, we might not have a lot of, but we can rely on those gaps being filled by the universe, because that vacuum of who will be filled, because a person will be called. She'll be called from wherever it is, all the way from Pretoria outside there in Gauteng, to come out here and birth not a dream of her own, but a liberation of a generation. Mm-hmm. To then understand that you can be self-sufficient. It's not some buzzword. It's not just something that you use to stamp on a thing. It's like, yes, we have now been able to save so much from our... we're not trying to... We need to move beyond the pageantry of naming things and the associations to titles and start doing the work. So that's, to answer your question, this micro city, and I'm not meaning to put any feathers in my hat, but this micro city is going to be the future of... the best quality living of the entire human being on a communal space that is in balance with nature. And it's an example, not to say, this is the way we need to do things, so that we can then say, hey, maybe as an alternative, let's have a look at this sustainability and self-sufficient, eco-friendly.
Yeah.
So it's tangible, and you can see people aren't just benefiting off of this. It's becoming an enriched life experience.
Thank you. Sure.
Both of us, Jaleesh and I, are both looking a little overwhelmed.
Yeah,
I teared up. It's been a wild ride. Unfortunately, we have to bring it to a close. We will have another opportunity to hear Etienne speak again. But before we close the session, I wanted to ask, or first say, what an incredible privilege it's been. But if... given your expertise and your experience and the discussion that we've had, what question would you like, what question haven't I asked, and what about your story would you like to share with the audience?
So I kind of,
the book comes out.
I did a bit
A book just came out, a notebook.
Yeah, right, like the neurospiciness was just like too much. And I had a bit of background check in, and I went and I had a look, and I out of respect for your show as well, I kind of prepared myself. So I wrote like a bunch of questions, but I chose one that I know that I'd like to, that I would have liked to ask. And it's so phenomenal, because it ties into what Ntabi was saying. And it's also something that I think that ties into a lot of conversations I think we need to have across the globe. And it's, what part of your experience, so what part of my experience, in my culture, in my ethnic group or my racial classification, or in my trade, or in my industry, whichever group I fall into, don't I hear being talked about in the mainstream, and why I think that is? So to answer this question, I think that one of the most important things that gets kept out of the main dialogue or mainstream conversation is the fact that there is no acceptance of the fact that we as the indigenous people, if we rely on empirical evidence and we all accept that the cradle of mankind is here, and we know that we're not just dating things based on, okay, well, this is when we have history. If we can move past this idea that authentication only comes from, or verification of something being authentic only comes through these systems that exist, we can get to a point where our oral history, the stories of... that help you understand that, okay, when we say that the Kohokwa tribe in the Kwe or Khoikhoi, out of the two distinctions, out of the same, the Kwe and the Sun, out of the same Kham nation, is the largest kingdom and the oldest kingdom. That history is dated from pre-1400. Talking about trading and international, we're talking about a very sophisticated civilization, but that is still just framed within the context of a savior complex, where it was a civilization or civilizing that happened through, and I think this is where it's interesting, because I'm not taking a speaking on behalf of all people, but I think it's important to then take a stance myself, because if I don't stand for something, I'll fall for anything. I think that that's where it's important to have this distinction around what spirituality means to you. Because if we say that according to the belief of those who came from European descent to Africa to Africa. Forget the Khoisan people, to Africa. If we're saying that the principle on a spiritual level is that we are the custodians of the people and of the planet, was it that the people, indigenous people, had arrived at this conclusion, but because they stayed in balance with nature, they were seen as uncivilized, and that the colonizers that brought the same message of we are the custodians of the people and the planet saw us as uncivilized, and it's that that misunderstanding is where we didn't find an opportunity that was created for us to benefit together and to be the custodians of all the people and of the actual planet. And we can't have those conversations. We can't have the conversations around the identity of colored people who are the descendants of the indigenous Khoisan or the Kum people. We can't have the conversation around slavery. We can't have the conversation around because of the fact that we have so much pain and so much suffering. So we need to first get to a point where we ourselves understand we are going through the fire so that we can express that pain, not to complain about it, but so that we can air it and we can accept it, observe it, and respectfully put it to bed and leave it in the fire and walk out of there pain-free so that the guilt will stay behind and we can address the other elements of how we can live together in unity. And once we get safe spaces, and especially from ourselves, from our own, where we decide to do this, to air that pain and to share it, not as a vulnerability or but as an opportunity to move forward. Oh my goodness. Let me tell you how fast we will move, because the way I've seen it, and this is only speaking to my experience, colored people, we live in pain because we've forgotten that we come from the Kum. We've been programmed to deassociate ourselves from the First Nation. And that pain is so deeply rooted within our DNA that it's generational trauma that keeps allowing us to think we function, but just to have survival mode. And I think if we can work through that, oh, together as a united human species, ooh-wee! You won't be able to stop us, Cletus. There ain't nothing we can't put our minds to accomplish. I'll tell you that truthfully.
I appreciate it. Wow.
Thank you so much for the history. And just for the listeners who aren't South African and don't have context, colored has a very specific meaning in South Africa. And maybe, Etienne, you'd like to elaborate on that. But also to let you know that we're running out of time.
True, yes. Yeah,
so after we've quickly answered this, maybe if we can, in 30 seconds each, we've got a few questions that have come through.
True.
And then we're going to invite Ntabi to come sit right between us.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Between Delisha and myself, and answer your questions.
Yeah, so I'd love to give it to Dee, please, yeah. If you would.
Wow, thank you. That was a big responsibility. Cool, 30 seconds. The colored word is a bastard word, so it's basically the same as saying or I guess in this context, and I'm going to be very intentional about using these words because it literally means the same thing in our context that was bestowed upon us during the time of colonization. So the word colored was previously known as hot knot. It was colored is a translation from a Dutch descendant word of hot knot, and we were ultimately the mixed race between, well, in their opinion, the mixed race between the Nguni tribes that were here, the Xhosa, Zulu, etc., and then your kind of Indonesian and Dutch descendants. Our perception of colored is that we are the First Nation tribe, that label was just given to in order to delegitimize the First Nation people. So instead of calling them Bushmen, it was easier to say you're colored, because then we could then just basically bastardize you and leave you out of the conversation.
And other, you can put other. Everyone into, if you're other. Non-white, you're in a they
just,
group.
Yeah, you're just yeah. This, yeah. So I think that's what it is today. And
thanks.
So yeah.
Thank you so much, yeah. Dee. Thanks for explaining that.
Just to add a little bit also from the indigenous perspective, even within the Khoikhoi and the San tribes, there are sub-tribes and stuff. So yeah. It's a lot more diverse. It's not just sort of like dualistic or binary as just like, okay, Khoi and San. It's like there's sub-tribes and there's families and there's, like it's rich. It's a rich tapestry. So just to then bundle everybody as colored, it is literally just a method of control and a means of segregation and oppression. And I mean, we cannot allow, but that's for another day. We can't.
This is for podcasts. This is a whole season that we need to unpack this in. Thank you for your vulnerability and also vulnerability. And thank you for explaining that.
Okay, thank you.
And so in closing, What a privilege. Thank you so much for having you.
It's an honor. Thank you. I'm humbled.
I have to say that for the edit for the podcast.
Yeah.
I promise it was genuine.
I mean, we already shared energy.
Thank you for joining us for episode 2 on Social Enterprise Stories. Keep an eye out for episode 3, where Chief Etienne Davids, as well as Ntabiseng Msingata from episode 1, will answer questions from the Q&A from the Mandela Day livestream. We'll hear about how the government and other organizations may act as enablers or barriers to these trailblazers.